Truly embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome to Hour 2.
Welcome back to the second hour of Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. It's Thursday, August 9th, 2018, and you are listening to Warn Radio. And now I welcome back the Watchman for John's Gospel Witness to Jesus Christ, Part 10, Power to Redeem.
Okay. We are here, and we are in John 17. This is verse 15. Now, I have talked about this verse a lot. And, you know, back in Bible school and all the way through, you know, I've been in all these verses. One time, a long, long time ago, the Lord showed me something that I had missed. I had read it. I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil. Now, the biggest thing that probably in the American church today for probably 30 years has been the rapture. Is it pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? Is there a millennial reign of Christ, etc.? And we get all hung up in all this stuff. Now, in this verse here, he says, I pray not that you would take them out of the world. He's not going to pray, Father, take them out of the world. Okay? Now, if we think about Moses went through the judgment, but he was kept. Lot and his family went through the judgment, but they were kept. They were removed. The children of Israel were told to flee Babylon and let Jerusalem come to mind. But in the New Testament church, Christians, many of them, are taught that there's a pre-trib rapture and they're never going to see any kind of tribulation. Now, I'm not here to poke you in the eye over this. It matters little to me what you want to believe. I'm just giving you the Word of God. You believe what you want to believe. And like my old pastor said, people are going to do what they want to do. And as a pastor, you can't stop them doing from what they want to do. So he says, I pray not that you would take them out of the world. Now, I'm not debating that the Lord's coming back. He's coming back, and he's coming back to get us. That's not what we're saying here. But the reason this is so important today is because many believers are in a little la-la land of sugar plum goodness, which I call the sugar plum church and the fairy tale Jesus. Living in this Western nation called America with all of its hedonism, where all of our evangelists, a lot of them, have plenty of money, and there's a few of them that have a ton of money. Our churches are rich. Then I look around the world and I see people that are Christians, many times not having a church, many times in prison, many times getting killed. And then when I covered ISIS going through the Middle East and saw what they did to Christians, it was an amazing feat when I saw how wicked people could do and be, even as Muslims, and go through there and kill and rape and pillage everybody that came across, women, men, children, didn't matter. And they didn't care what church you went to. If they were in a church, had a cross, and believed in Jesus in some way or another, they didn't care what your doctrine was. You were an enemy, period. You see, all the things that divide us in America, that wasn't the issue for ISIS. Nope. If you're a Christian, they hated you. If you're in a church, didn't matter what kind of church, didn't matter what your denomination was, didn't matter. All that mattered is when they caught you and you were in a church, if you had a cross and if you had Bible, if you had choir, you know, some song manuals, you know, and you believe in Jesus, well. And even if you didn't believe in Jesus, they'd still kill you because they wanted you to believe like they did. Because it really didn't matter. Even when the mark of the beast comes, it isn't going to matter what church you go to, what you believe in, whether you believe in him or not. It's only going to matter one thing. Are you going to take the mark or not? If you're not going to take the mark, they'll kill you. Period. Black and white, folks. And in America, we don't have black and white. We have a lot of colors. See, the gay and lesbians like the rainbow flag. Lots of colors. Matter of fact, it's a rainbow flag, just like God had put a rainbow in the sky for Noah as a sign. So the gay and lesbians took that, which, fine, they can do it, I don't care. God will take care of that, not me. So in verse 15, I pray not that you would take them out of the world. Okay, so we discussed that. Now, the important part of this is, if we're not going to be taken out of the world in a rapture to save us from this evil that's coming, what are we going to do? He says, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And the evil here means directly the devil, the evil one, the dark one. So, as a believer, now see, one of the things that we have here is marching orders in Revelation. Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now see, Scripture will never counteract Scripture, contradict or anything else. Now we can be kept from the evil, and we can still die as martyrs. Because when you lose your life for his sake, you find it. And we've covered a lot of this same type of thing. And what I'm getting at here is for you as a believer, you can pray this prayer over your family. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for all of those who are listening as believers tonight. I pray for them and their family. And according to your word, when you said, I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil, I pray that you would keep each and every one of them and their family from the evil. That you would make a way for them and undertake in their behalf in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from this miracle and from these who I have prayed for. You need to receive that. And you need to pray that way, that scripture. Now there's another one. Now we're not going to cover it in this study, but it's found in Luke 21, 37 through 39, I think it is. Watch and pray always that you would be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray according to your word, which says, watch and pray always that you would be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I watch and pray for all of those who are listening right now and their families, that they would be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. In Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from this prayer and from those who I prayed for and from this miracle. Amen. Now see, that's praying scripture. Now see, this is a promise. Now see, there's no way he's going to pray that prayer and the Father not listen. If you are connected to him, walking in him, you can pray that prayer. And if you're not connected, you can repent and get that way. He goes on to explain why. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So if you're going to keep them in the world, you have to keep them from the evil. That's really what that means. We're not of the world. We're in the world, we're not of the world. I'm in America, but I'm not of America. I'm not a watchman for this country. I'm a watchman for the Lord. Period. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm not looking for a city whose builder and maker is Thomas Jefferson or one of the signers of the Independence. The Declaration of Independence, that's fine. I have nothing against them. But I'm here in the last days. This country's going down. I'm looking for a city. My God will make a way for me and my family. I believe that. And I'm going to continue to believe that no matter what comes. Now you have two choices. Go by faith, go by fear. You pick out what you want. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when you diligently seek him, he says he will reward you. That reward is answering your prayers, watching after you, and making a way for you. And this is what your Lord is praying in this prayer right now. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And this is the word, Peter says, which is preached unto you. Sanctify them. Set them aside through the word of God. The word of God is sanctifying. It's purging. It's a discerner of the hearts and intents. It's very intricate desires that you have. Whoever you are, whatever you are, it'll get in there. That's why you need the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. He says, as thou hast sent me in the world, even so have I sent them into the world. So now, do you see the truths? I pray that you would not take them out of the world, Father. But you keep them from the evil. They're not in the world, Father, even as I am. They are not of the world, Father, just as I am not of the world. And as you have sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. Folks, we are sent. Nothing here says model coddled, babied, fed pablum all your life. Paul told Timothy, be strong. You know, toughen up as a good soldier in Christ. Be like saying, don't whine. Stop your wailing. Get in the word. Let the word purge you of that unbelief. Repent, get before God, and get strength, and go back out and face down the enemy. Now, I don't mean for you to go in the middle of the street. I mean every day, wherever you're at, the Lord is with you. And if you're in tune with him, he'll give you the words. And you just care. You have a message. You don't have to be a preacher. All you have to do is care. You know how many in this world, especially America, that really care for one another? That really give one, two bits about what somebody says? Everybody's so interested in giving their own viewpoint. Everybody has their feelings on their sleeve. Nothing can be said. Nobody has a right to their own opinion anymore. Nothing. Everybody is on edge, on fire, ready for a fight all the time, griping, moaning, and bitching about something. All the time. In your job, at your work, wherever, almost everywhere, people today, and you get around the world, it's the same thing. They're just bitching and moaning about other things. But your God has called you to do something beside complain and bitch and moan and gripe. You're not of the world. And it also says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Why? Because he's in us and we are in him. Because his sanctification and being purposed, and that's what that really is, being set aside and purposed to help us, to stand in for us. I sanctify myself in this regard, he's saying. That they also might be sanctified through the truth. Thy word is truth. We think of the word of God. Well, Yahshua, Jesus Christ, is the word of God. He's the incarnate word of God. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And there was not anything made that was not made by him. He was in the beginning with God. But you know, the world, he went to his own people. He created the world, and they didn't even know him. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. Now see, he's praying for you and me today. Because you and I believe today because of the word that is written in the word of God by John and the other apostles and the other witnesses. Because their word that they wrote is anointed. Because they were in Christ. And they wrote that word, it's anointed. The Spirit of God takes that word and makes it alive within us, and God honors it. And thus the Spirit of the Lord can move in our darkened souls and reborn us into newness. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now you see, there you go again. Again. In one. We are in the Lord. The Father is in him, and he's in the Father, but we're all one. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. But you got to make it to the end. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved me. Oh, excuse me. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now this is all. I in them, you are in me, and we're made perfect in one. As a witness to the world, so the world will know when they see us that the Lord, you know, our Savior was sent by the Father. And the Father loved him. We believed on the Son. The Father received us and loved us. So we're all in one. Now, in verse 24, this is the end of chapter 17, he wraps up the part. Now remember in the beginning, when we were talking about the part, I pray that you would not take them out of the world. Well, he doesn't leave it there. That's a good thing. Because now he's going to get back to that. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. That means, if he's in heaven, or if he's in his kingdom, we're going to be there, wherever that kingdom is. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now you see, this tells his eternal nature. He was in the beginning before the foundation of the world, which follows John chapter 1. And he wants those who have believed on him to be with him. So we're going to have to be with him wherever he's at, and we will behold his glory. And Scripture tells us that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So when we see him break the sky in the east, we will see his glory and will be changed in an instant, will be like him. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Now again, he continues to talk about, you have sent him. Thou hast sent me, Father. And for those people to deny the Father and the Son is just absolutely nuts. Of course, you got to believe the Word of God. If you don't believe the Word of God, then none of this preaching is going to do you any good, except it will fulfill the very thing that God wills. For the Word of God will not return void, but it will fulfill that which God has sent it to do. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, you see in this chapter, we talk a lot about being in the Lord and in the Father. The love that the Father had for his Son should be in us. See, you cannot get away from the unity and being found in the Lord and in the Father. That their love would be in us because we are in them. That he will keep us from the evil. That when he comes, we will see him. Because we're going to be where he's at. And we are that witness to the world, even in the end of days. There is going to be a witness that God will make sure this world will see all the way through the tribulation. So when the rebellious get through the tribulation, not only will they have suffered the tribulation, they will wind up in hell. But they will be without excuse. Because God will have warned them time and time again. Now, we're in John 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. Now there's a small stream. It flows out of Jerusalem to the east into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And it divided the city from the Mount of Olives. Howbeit, in the hot days of summer, it will dry up. We have a lot of those around here. They're dry creek beds, but if it rains, it'll all come out of the mountains and they'll be full. So, the Lord goes into the garden, and we know where this is headed. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Now, it would have been a nice place. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. You know what's amazing to me? You know, the chief priests, you'd have thought that they would have come, but they weren't going to come. They weren't going to dirty their hands. And Judas, of course, he came. He came. And it's, you know, this guy, you know, around here we have a saying, you have the gall of a goat, means that you can stand up and say or do something that most people couldn't because they would be uncomfortable or ashamed or something. But Judas, there's no shame here. He ran with the disciples and the Lord. He carried the money bag. He was there all the time. And he's going to come and deceive the Son of God. And they're going to take him away. And so, how could you do that? Most people couldn't. But he was hardened. The devil had entered. And of course, once he gets done with the deed, the devil is done with him. See, because when you're doing some of this stuff that's wrong, there is ways for you to feel good about it. Until you get over, and then the truth, the morality sets in of what you did. And see, this is why Judas afterwards repented and felt terrible and ended up killing himself. Because you can't live with yourself because of what you did. You know that you did it to an innocent man. And so Judas, with the gall of a goat, having no shame here, feeling good, feeling important, having, you know, men and officers, you know, that looked upon him as the leader, he got to shine. This is Judas's 15 minutes of fame or shame, however you want to look at it. Judas became real popular here. You know, most people in America look to have fame and fortune. Well, Judas got the fame, but not the fortune. And whatever money he got, he tried to give back. They didn't want it because it's blood money. And I've taught on blood guilt a lot. And Judas was filled with blood guilt. But he's also named the son of perdition. She tells you where he's going. Destruction. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered unto him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, I have pointed out many, many times here the word I am in the Greek, which follows the I am of the I am in the Torah. I am. They were used in John 4:26, John 6:20, John 8:24, John 8:28, John 8:58, John 13:19, and also in 18:5, 18:6, and 18:8. Now, there's a couple of the instances that have certain descriptions, but the others claim to be the divine title of Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. I am that I am in the Hebrew means I will be what I will be or become. I am, I will be, speaking of himself. He has always been there. He has always existed. It's, you know, I am that I am. I'm God. I've always been here. I am he, whatever I will be, that's what I am, because I'm God. I can do anything. I am that I am. And that's exactly what the Lord was saying to them when he said, I am he. And with that, the power, they fell backwards. Then ask he them again, whom seek you? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them that thou gavest me, have I lost none. So he said, I am he, twice. And in the law, of course, it says that let every word be established with two or three witnesses. And he established the witness twice. I am he. I am he. And this is important because it fulfills the law in the witness department. He was telling them, I am that I am. I was in the beginning. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I am he. I'm he. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain of officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Good old Simon Peter. Now remember, in earlier times, you know, Peter was telling him that he would die with him, he would fight for him. And the Lord said, well, you'll deny me three times. But Peter here, you know, make no mistake, there's a lot of Peter in all of us. He was willing. You know, if the Lord would have said fight, Peter would have fought. He would have fought with everything he had just to protect his Lord. He would have. But that's not why God, you know, sent his son. Because the Lord is the perfect one. He was and is the sacrifice. He's the Passover lamb. He is the atoning sacrifice. He's the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And there's the purpose why he's doing this. He's being given to evil, wicked men who are going to abuse him, beat him up, mock him. And today, the same spirit that crucified your Lord is in the world. And that spirit is of the devil, of course, and it targets Christians. They can't torment the Lord, but they will torment his children. And this spirit will kill them, bear false witness against them, throw them in prison, do anything. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was one man that should die for the people. He is the son-in-law of Annas' successor and high priest. For 18 years, A.D. 18 to 36, and of course he spoke that, not knowing it, through the Spirit. Because that's exactly what the Lord was going to do. One man would die for the people. And it couldn't be just any man. It had to be the Lord, the perfect sacrifice, the Son of God, because he was sinless. Because, you see, the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. Just like the blood of sinful men can't take away sin. It had to be the blood of the Lord, the sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God, which took away the sins of the world. And it was our God and our Father who gave the word through the Torah that to atone for the sins, it would take blood. And would take the blood of animals. But you see, they couldn't permanently remove sin. And so they had atonement, the Day of Atonement, every year. Now the Lord died once and for all people. But you have to receive him and believe and walk in him. And verse 15, Simon Peter now is following the Lord, and what he doesn't know is that he's going to end up denying the Lord. And see, this is the way temptation, this is the way you fall into sin. He should have stayed away from there totally, but he couldn't. His Lord was taken. He would have fought. He didn't want this to happen. And while the disciples were told what's coming, it wasn't until after it happened that they really understood. And it wasn't really until the Holy Spirit had come at Pentecost and they were anointed with that infilling that they really did get the dunamis power and the understanding needed to really fully comprehend all this. Although he did, again, explain the scriptures and tell them, you know, he was seen by many infallible proofs and witnesses, and he would tell them what had to be. And Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Now, We don't know who this is. And it could be that a certain high official, someone who knew all the ins and outs of the temple, the same one that went to Jesus by night, had become a disciple. And so he was known to the high priest and to all the Sanhedrin, so he could come and go. So he just went in with Jesus into the palace, and there's nothing he would have done to stop it. It's kind of hard to understand how people can be considered a disciple and be in the presence and not stop it. But see, somewhere in here, when events begin to take place and the power of darkness, and the Lord talks about the power of darkness, and he had, as the Son of God, he had power over everything, but he gave himself into the power of darkness so that they could do whatever they wanted to him. But yet, even in all of this, darkness and evil fulfilled the will of God. Darkness wanted to kill the Lord, and they did. They didn't realize that that was in the plans of God. They didn't realize that his blood is a propitiation for the sins of all men. They didn't realize that when they did this, that the Lord would wind up with the keys of death and hell. That he became and is the resurrection and the life. You know, when Christ died on that cross, when he was hanging, they were rejoicing in hell. When he died, there was a party. And you can bet you that Lucifer, Satan, and all the big mucky muck darkies, dark spirits down there, they were rejoicing. It wasn't until they realized that he took the keys of death and hell. It wasn't until they realized that he resurrected from the dead. It wasn't until they realized that now men had redeeming ability, a redemption that they could fall back on. Death came through Adam, but life came through Jesus Christ. So Simon Peter's in the lion's den. This is a bad place. Jesus went into the lion's den. Literally. In the will of God. If you're going to go into the lion's den, always make sure it's in the will of God. Now Simon Peter was in there, and you could also say that he was in the will of God. But you could also say that he was going to learn a lesson. He ended up denying the Lord. But you see, he did find forgiveness from the Lord. Because when the Lord was resurrected, he said, go tell the others and Peter. You see, this was important. And so, but Peter stood at the door without, then went out with that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, are you not also the one of this man's disciples? And of course, Peter here, he saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So Peter's warming himself with the others. And of course, they're close enough that they can hear. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have said. When he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palms of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? So here, the Lord speaks in righteousness. You know, he didn't do any evil here. But he says, If I have spoken evil, then tell me what I've done. But if I have not spoken evil, why are you hitting me? They didn't want anybody speaking back, even if it was true. Now, Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Are you not also one of his disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. Now see, in all of this, Peter is just trying not to get caught. And he doesn't realize that he's losing the battle. But he wants to stay there. He wants to be there with the Lord. He cannot pull himself away. But he is not able to fight what's about to happen. And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did I not see you in the garden with him? Yeah, he cut off his ear. Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. And see, it would be at this point that's like the get out of jail free card. That's like the, recess is beginning. That's like the school's out bell. He suddenly realized what happened. He had been led through that whole thing. And he ended up denying three times, just what the Lord said. Now see, that would have devastated him. And of course, the first thing you would do is get out of there. Because you're going to feel terrible. You had been with the Lord all that time, and now, see, and this is the way the devil works. This is the way your conscience works, too. You see, your fallen nature, your mind and your body, your flesh, is the fallen nature. The thing that gets saved in you is your spirit, your soul. And it doesn't want to forget. It won't forgive. And that's why people have a hard time forgiving themselves when they do something wrong. And so Peter, the cock crew, he would have immediately known. Of course, by then the devil's laughing and saying, Yeah, I got him. See, that's the way the devil works with everybody. And that's why you've got to be so careful about where you go, to make sure you don't fall into these things. Because you can fall into them just like Peter did. How many pastors have we seen that fell into sin, grievous sin? Well, they were around the Lord all the time. They were preaching the word. What happened to them? It still requires a relationship. And it's easy to do because you have so many things to do. And the devil knows it. So Peter, he's going to be devastated. Now, you see, the scripture says the shepherd is smitten and the sheep scatter. And all the flock, all his followers, are going to scatter hither and thither. Now, of course, John and some of the women will take down the body. And the women will prepare his body. They will wrap his body up and put it in the tomb. But there's going to be people, some of his own people, attending to him. And he's going to be dead. There's going to be no life in that body. And they're all going to be devastated. This is what the high priest wanted. This is what the Jews outside the judgment hall wanted, saying, "Let his blood be on us." And it was. And so all of this is coming down, and hell's happy. The Jews are happy. Now, 3 days later, hell is overturned. By the time he's resurrected from the dead, the devil knows he's made a mistake that can't be corrected. Now, he's going to be too proud to admit it. He'll go on fighting. But if he ever stands up to the Lord or comes close to him, he'll be under the foot of the Lord. He can't stand to be in the presence anymore. He's no longer welcome in heaven, in the presence of the Father. He's been judged, and he's condemned. There is no redemption. But the battle isn't over. So when the Lord gets back, it'll be one of proving that he's the first fruits. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, that they might eat the Passover. Now you see, the hall of judgment, the praetorium, is translated as common hall. It was a place where the Roman proctor or governor, the one appointed to hear all cases, would be. And the Lord had been brought before him, and the Jews were willing to let the Gentiles do it. They wanted the Romans to do the crucifixion because they had a way of figuring out how to stay righteous in this. Well, we didn't do it, the Romans did. But the Lord knows whose blood, who's responsible. And so the Jews were more worried about Passover being hypocrites. They just condemned an innocent man and brought him to the Romans, the Gentiles, to kill. The Romans didn't care. They just wanted to keep the Jews happy. And we're going to probably stop right there. And the reason we're going to stop right there is because we're coming down. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I ask, Lord, that you will touch people's hearts, move upon them. Father, bless them. In Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Now, when we come back next time, we will take it up from the Roman portion. This is the Gentiles doing the dirty work for the Jews, because they're keeping their feasts. You know, they're being holy here. See, keeping those feasts is not going to keep you holy. Now, we keep feasts. We keep Sabbath. But that doesn't keep us righteous. No, sir. By the law and the keeping of these feasts and Sabbath, by no man is going to be justified. It's through Christ, through the cross, through redemption, through faith. Period. So when we come back next time, we will do that. And we are getting down to the end. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to be doing on this. But we're coming down to the end. But in John, the end is just the beginning. You know, that's the way it goes. This is a book of witness to let you know what happened so that you will believe. That's what John wrote it for. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Here we are.
Yep, we're just about through John.
Yeah, I think of Peter, that would have disturbed me greatly.
Yeah.
And I think there was times in my life that I was too timid to bring it up or anything when I should have. So that's kind of like denying him.
Well, you know, like I said, there's a little Peter in all of us.
Yep.
But it was the Lord's love and His grace and His forgiveness that wanted Peter back.
Thank God.
Yeah. Because the Lord knew what would happen. He told him. Mm-hmm. But see, Peter became a great man of God.
He did.
A strength to the church.
Yes, he did.
So, it's just one of those things. And with that, we're going to have to go.
Okay, well, be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar, Peter's Epistle to the Elect, Part 3, Called of Christ. So thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. We appreciate each and every one of you and all that you do for the Lord. God bless you.
Good night, everybody. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Friday night, Sunday brunch, it does not matter. Facts are facts, queen. Every cigarette can cut your life short. Find that hard to believe? Then tap the banner for more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.
There's a difference between do it yourself and do it for a living. At the Home Depot, we get that. And we're here to help pros get the job done with the products and brands you trust. Technology to keep your job on track. Job site delivery to save you time. And bulk pricing on over 4,000 items every day to save you money. When you've got a job, we're on the job. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing.